is a real thrill on Static, on 2SER, to be saying a big g'day to Dylan from Cloud Nothings. How you doing?
I'm doing good, yeah. How about you?
I'm doing all right and feeling slightly inadequate, I guess. Cloud Nothings have been getting it done. Global pandemic be damned. You got this album, The Shadow I Remember, under your belt in 2020, and also Homemade, a second self-released record, Dylan. So you've had one of the busiest years of anybody.
Yeah, we've turned into just full-time like creatures of the internet. You know, I haven't seen anyone in the band in a while. But yeah, we've just been kind of keeping in touch and sending stuff back and forth online and trying to make music that way while we have to. Yeah.
So you got this album, The Shadow I Remember, in right before things closed down, did you?
True, yeah. We finished it in February last year, which I think a lot of people didn't know, because I keep seeing reviews pop up being like, this crazy pandemic album. I'm like, oh man, it's not about that. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, you could have made it since then as well, because I've been looking at Chicago's Electrical Audio website, which is where you made the record, and Albini has just powered through making albums. You know, he's a mask wearer, which is a good thing. I'm sure he's got room for them in his bum bag, so he has kept making records.
Yeah, no, he's, of all the people, you know, he's got a serious work ethic, so he's an essential worker. Yeah, he's doing what he has to do.
Albini and the Cockroaches are going to be here at the end of time, right? Nothing's going to kill him off.
I sure hope not. Yeah, he's a really special guy.
It was a big deal for you guys to go back and work with him again, Dylan, because you returned to where you made your 2012 album, Attack on Memory. You did that with him, so did the songs feel right, or what was the idea behind going back to the scene of the crime in a way?
It was to kind of just return to the way Albini's really good at capturing just how a band sounds live. And I was starting to feel like we were almost getting away from that with our last couple records in a way that I didn't particularly feel attached to anymore. You know, there, while we were making those records, I was kind of like, oh, it's okay to, you know, be experimenting in this way and making things that are a little less a picture of the live performance. But I stopped feeling that way after a certain point, and we decided to go back to the master of his craft, Albini.
As far as I understand it as well, you have to have your shit together when you go to work with him. He's not there to mollycoddle anyone, which probably isn't a problem with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we always have our stuff kind of pretty nailed down before we go in there. And that's actually something I really like about him, is he's not out to put his purposeful imprint on you in some way. You know, there's no attitude like that, or like a ego or something. You know, he's just kind of there to facilitate your process in a way. I mean, he's really good at being sort of that invisible force, you know. And I also do feel like there's something to be said for like just knowing you're going to do a record with him and being familiar with his like back catalog and his history. You want to do something good, you know. You're sort of inspired in that way too. You're like, I gotta make something at least halfway decent if we're doing it with this guy. Yeah.
And Dylan, you said you wanted to go back to more of a bare bones sound, or the way that you thought the band sounded for this record, but you also made, as I understand it, more of a personal effort to shake up your writing this time. Did you feel like you were sort of role-playing or getting away from what you wanted to say the past couple of records?
Slightly, yeah. I think for the most part, I just started feeling like I was kind of rewriting the same song over and over. Or like making the same record again and again, you know, and I kind of just wanted something that, you know, it doesn't stray too far from any of that stuff we've done before. But to me, it's almost just sort of like a graduation day or something, you know, for the band. It's like, oh, we've learned all this stuff on these last records, and this one is like, you know, us putting that all together and, you know, coming out with this album that we just put out, Shadow I Remember. That was kind of the goal with this one, to sort of just like combine everything that I've learned in some way and present it as, you know, the thesis statement for a lot of things. Yeah.
You've dug deeper as a writer. Nearly all the songs on this Cloud Nothings album are lovelorn in some way, either under the spell of love or appreciated for being love. I mean, hell, Dylan, there's even a song on this record called It's Love.
True. Yeah. No, I feel like a lot of the times when I'm writing stuff, I speak in these sort of like yearning terms. They're not always about people, and like generally they aren't actually about people. It's more just about like a longing for time that has passed. That's like sort of more of the thing that I am focused on, and I like kind of obsess over history and things in that way. But there is one just straight up, like, because my partner told me, like, you never have written a song for me, and we've been dating for like 7 years. And I was like, oh, you're right. So I did make one song on here. It's called Only Light, and that's kind of like a sci-fi love song about rending space and time and tearing a hole in it and creating this person that you would want to be there if they didn't already exist. It's about space and time.
But it's lovely to hear you saying a lot of this stuff. There's Love is Salvation on a song like Open Rain as well, which poses, now I want to know if you can save me. So you've given in somewhat.
Yeah, well, that song is actually about something ridiculous. I made a personal goal in December of 2019 to watch everything that came out on Netflix. And I got pretty close. And
wait, you knew the pandemic was coming, did you? And you were like, right, next year, all I'm going to do is watch Netflix.
No, I don't know what I was doing. I think I was just losing my mind. That was just what I wanted to do. And so the Netflix algorithm gradually kept feeding me worse and worse stuff as I continued to just watch everything. And it got to the point where it was like, you have to watch this show called Messiah. And I was like, all right, I'll watch Messiah. Have you seen this show?
No.
Okay. Yeah. It's about a sort of Jesus figure that arises in the Middle East, modern day. And I don't remember what country exactly he's in, but he shows up and people flock to him because he appears to be able to do miraculous things, and the U.S. government isn't having it. So they send the CIA or FBI or something over to get this guy. And it's just a show about cults and about the U.S. government trying to take down some guy in the Middle East. It's terrible. But it got me in this cult mindset, and so the song is kind of about that, actually.
So the Netflix algorithm is actually designed to turn you into a hardcore Christian, is it?
I think that might have been the end result, yeah, after you watch enough stuff. Yeah.
Dylan, this seems to be an album about getting at the heart of things literally and musically, too. There's an economy about the songs on The Shadow I Remember. All of them clock in around the three-minute mark, with only the opener Oslo breaking 4 minutes, which is the first time since your debut 2011 album you haven't had one of those 5 minute plus opuses. So was that a habit you deliberately had to break?
Not exactly. It was more just I wanted to combine, we do these 10 minute songs and stuff on some of these records, and that is fun, but there's only so many different ways I feel like I can do that, especially with the band, without adding a new member to the band or something, or changing it in some fundamental way. So I just wanted to pare all that down and fit those kind of moments into these 3 minute pop songs, so there are all these little noisy elements to everything and things that we could have stretched out into longer jams or something, and which if we ever play live, we might do. But for the record itself, I was kind of more fascinated by paring things down in that way and trying to just make every part very purposeful and short and basically.
I'm sure Queen thought that at some point as well. After you've done Bohemian Rhapsody, where do you go?
I don't know. Where did they go? Yeah.
I think they did the Flash Gordon soundtrack or something after that. They went to the other side.
Yeah. Dude, that's where I should have gone. Yeah, I'll be doing the Netflix Messiah soundtrack. I mean, I don't know if there's a season 2 yet, but if there is, I'm just going to throw it out there that I am down to work on it.
I think that show made way too much of an impression on you, Dylan.
I'm still talking about it 2 years later.
And creating those couple of records in a year is all well and good, Dylan, but also a bigger picture thing has also just happened because you're a doggy daddy. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was just taking her for a walk. It's finally nice. I don't know what it's like in Australia. It's probably nice out there still, right? Yeah,
it's
just
always
got
nice
here now. Yeah.
But you adopted this rescue dog. This is a pit bull named Lavender.
Yeah, it's a little pit bull mix. We don't know what she's mixed with exactly, but they found her just tied up to a tree in a park near me in Philadelphia, and she's missing her nose, so she can't breathe through her nose. There's no nostrils there, but she's getting looked at to see if she can get some kind of surgery for that tomorrow. So we'll find out tomorrow what that's all about. But yeah, we've been watching her for a little bit, just fostering her, and we decided we kind of need to keep this dog. So yeah, we have her now.
She's also got her own Instagram, I saw. I think she's got more followers than Cloud Nothings.
She will soon. Yeah, she was already popular before we even had her, because the shelter was just posting about her all the time. But yeah, Lavender Town Dog on Instagram and Twitter, if you'd like to follow her.
Dylan, what are you going to do when touring starts up again properly? It's going to be so hard for you to leave home now.
Yeah, I know. I think my girlfriend plays in a band too, so I think we might just have to alternate tours here and there and see what we can do. But I have a feeling it won't be hard to find people who want to watch this dog too. She's pretty special.
Well, I hope that you start watching a few more dog shows on Netflix rather than Conspiracy Theory Christ miniseries.
I tried. There was one called like Dog Dancing. Did you ever watch that?
You're talking to the wrong person. No, I haven't gone down the Netflix algorithm hole like you have.
Okay, well, if you have nothing to do, Dog Dancing is like a sport that these women created where they literally like do dance routines with their dogs in like the kind of like stadiums that they do like Olympic trials in, kind of. There'll be people just like dancing with dogs. It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's not a great documentary about it, but it's an interesting sport.
But it is a documentary, if you will.
It is a documentary. Yeah, I got to show Lavender. She'll probably love it.
It was great to have a chat to you on Static this evening. We might have a listen to the closing song off The Shadow I Remember, which repeats the album title like a mantra. Dylan, the room it was.
Yeah.
And one day, you will tour here again. Someone will look after the dog. Nothing will be on Netflix. You'll be able to get to Australia with Cloud Nothings once more. I hope so.
I hope so too. Yeah, I would like nothing more.
This is Cloud Nothings now on Static. Look after yourself and Lavender, Dylan.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you.